holding banana at my grandmother's house, a little boy, many years before I started preaching. So who knows when it starts. Glad you're with us today. We're going to talk about something that's very important, I think. And I got thinking about, of course, Veterans Day and Veterans Weekend and what it means to our nation. And I got thinking about the cross and how, in a sense, that's a flag for our lives as well. How that the banner of the cross represents all that we are and all that we are to become. And the great price that was paid to give us this. I'm reminded of the story, and I'm thankful for what Rodney said about, you know, that God's in control. And yes, we do our part. We vote. We have a military that defends our country. But it still comes down to the hand of God, doesn't it, on everything. And I got thinking about the story of King David whenever he began to count the armies and the chariots. Remember, he began to count that. He wanted to see how many he had, and God got mad at him. Why did he get mad at him? You're counting how many Marines, how many soldiers, how many Navy, how many Air Force? You counting all? Really, that's what you're counting? Don't you know I'm God? Don't you know I can take care of this? And so I think we have to be very careful that we don't put any too much credence or too much faith in anything more than we put in God. I think that's very important. Sometimes we tend to put more faith in, like what Rodney said, that, you know, Donald Trump's going to change America and he's going to change the world. And there's no man that has that kind of power. Not even me. There's no man that has that kind of power. You know, it takes the hand of God. We have won many battles and we have defended this nation, but it's by the providence of God. I mean, think about this. In the very beginning of the Revolutionary War, we were outmanned terribly. We were extremely outnumbered. We should have lost that. And yes, there were brave soldiers, but what, you know what the difference was? What the gap was? The hand of God that provided that provision and that favor that we should have lost, but yet we didn't because the hand of God. And so I got thinking about how precious this cross is. And I got thinking about, as I see the protests going on in our nation, as I see the division, as I see, you know, and I'll keep my opinions to myself. I'll be very good about that. I'm not much for whining and crybabies. I don't deal well with that. There have been many elections through the years that I didn't get the guy I voted for, but I sure didn't protest or whine or cry about it. I moved on. The people have spoken. Let's move on. But I'm looking at this division that's happening right now. And people are so confused, and they're so angry, and they're so misguided, and they're so misinformed. And I got thinking about how this cross is a universal banner. See, this American flag only represents this one nation. No other nation. China doesn't put their hand on their heart for this. Japan doesn't. Australia doesn't. Only Americans honor. This flag only represents America, one nation. This cross represents every nation. Every language, every tongue, every race, every culture. This represents Democrats, liberals, Republicans, atheists. It represents whoever will call upon its name. It represents all people. The cross unifies where a flag may divide. This cross brings together. And this cross has no respect to persons. This cross makes all of us citizens in the same country. This cross gives us all the legal green card, so to speak, the legal visa to be forevermore in His kingdom. This cross does everything to bring His family together. And it's precious. And if we get our eyes on all of our differences and upon the one thing that brings all of us together, that in every language, in every tongue, that the name of Jesus means the same thing. That when people call out Jesus, Son of God, in what every language that is, it's crying out to the same one that died and that rose for me and for you. This cross is available. This flag is available for everyone to bow unto and salute to, saying, yes, this is my flag. It doesn't matter what we've done or where we've been. Church, there are people. I mean, you see the video of the guy getting beat up because he had a Trump. You voted for Trump and he got beat half to end his life just because of who he voted for. Aren't you glad that this cross can destroy all of that and we become one family. We become one body, though we look different and we act different. And I don't have to, you know, discredit or disown you. This cross brings us into one surrendering movement, one surrendering moment that we believe in heaven, we believe in the kingdom of God, we believe we are saved by grace, we believe our past doesn't hold us, our future is forever sealed, we believe our mistakes doesn't cost us, we believe that He forgave us no matter what we've done or where we've been. That's what this banner represents. And church, this flag is the most important flag of the world. Because this flag, if we want to get technical, started outside this country. We are foreigners, right? Until we become citizens. Thank God we are now citizens of the household of God. Let's see what Jesus did. We're going to get some scriptures. Luke 22, verse 15. Luke 22, beginning with verse 15. And He said to them, "With desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For as I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He took the cup, He gave thanks, and He said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." He took the bread, He gave thanks, He broke it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body." I've got the cross for a visual. I want you to visualize Christ on the cross. "This is my body, which is given for" who? "For you," for everyone, for the whole world. "Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." See, Jesus stormed Mount Golgotha. He stormed Mount Golgotha and shed His blood for us. And that blood is available to every single person that will call upon His name. That blood is available to every person, every creed, every single person that says, "Lord, I want this gift, this offer. I want this to be my new flag. I want this to be my banner. I want to be able to bow to this and know I am yours and you are mine." He gave His body. He shed His blood. He gave the ultimate sacrifice for mankind, for humanity. See, our soldiers have fought for this nation. Christ fought for the world. Christ fought for humanity everywhere. Christ fought for the whole globe. It's a universal banner. This cross is recognized, I would say, in pretty much any major at all civilized nation. People know what that means. If there's a cross in Japan, they know what that means. A cross in Australia. The cross is so powerful. So we don't know many other countries' flags. I would know a handful probably. If somebody put 50 flags up there and said, "Name which country," I might can name a few of them, but not many of them. I wouldn't know. But they can name the cross. You go to Japan, what is that? Cross. What is cross in Spanish? Cruz. Go to Mexico, hang it up. What is that? Cruz. What does the cruz mean? Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus died. For me, He shed His blood. This cross is such a powerful flag, such a powerful banner, and it brings to some such hope and glory, and to others it brings such hate, because it invokes every demonic warfare going on inside of them. Church, this cross that Jesus died on was simply timbers put together. Timbers upon a hill. As they marched Him up that hill, as He carried that beam across His back and they nailed Him up there and put nails in His hands and they nailed His feet together on that cross, and as He hung suspended above air, He was truly a prisoner of war that never got rescued. He was a prisoner of war that died as a prisoner of war. What was the war? War was trying to defeat sin. War was trying to defeat hell. War was trying to defeat death and the grave. And thank God He did that. We will never know what death is because Jesus paid the ultimate price. Though our breath leaves our body, our soul knows no separation because of what Jesus did. He paid that price. He gave that blood. He completely fulfilled what we can never fulfill. And he did that for us. And church, let us never be so arrogant. Never so arrogant to think that, oh, and church, I believe in taking pride in the country we live in. I'm not saying that. It's like anything else. I believe in balance. I think anything too extremes can be dangerous. Too extreme can be dangerous. You got folks that can't stop eating, that's dangerous. You got some folks that throw everything up they do eat, that's dangerous too. Extremism can be dangerous. We should be proud of America, but not the point that we recognize that if not for God, we wouldn't be here. God comes first. He's the King of Kings. He's the General of Generals. Then after God, we can begin to recognize the other authorities he's put in the earth. But church, without God, we are nothing. I thought about Israel. Israel is about the size. I mean, Israel is no bigger than many of our states here in America. It's a whole nation smaller than some of our states. How has Israel, now I want you to focus on this and really process this. I got to think about this yesterday. How is Israel, who is surrounded by all their enemies, everybody hates Israel except God's people. Everybody hates Israel. And they are surrounded by total anti-Jews and hate. But yet all of these years, why has nobody just went in and took them over? Why has Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, why has all these countries not got together one day, one big board meeting, hey, let's just all pull our sources together, you know, let's get, you know, a billion of us to go blow them up. The reason they have survived is not because of their great military, which they do have a great military, but it's not because of that. It is because of the hand of God saying, no, you can't touch this nation. Church, we are the same way. We're not great because of our arrogance. We're great because that Jesus' blood was shed and the founding fathers established this nation with the freedom to worship God and honor him above all. In God we trust. In God we trust. And I see this such, I mean, yes, I'm proud to be an American. I'm so proud. But I'm proud to be an American because God made me an American. Church, I could have been born anywhere else, but the hand and grace of God put me right here. I mean, even if you're from Ohio, it's better to be there than anywhere else. I mean, still, Ohio's okay. It's better than Iraq. I'm just thankful to know that without God, we would not be a nation. And so, as all of this turmoil, and there's even some Christians really upset about this election, and I'm like, who's your faith in? I mean, who's your faith in? If you've got more faith in Hillary Clinton, you got in Jesus Christ, you've got a problem. I'm just saying, Christ is on the throne. That's who I count on. Period. Next scripture, Jeremy. And I look at what he did for us. Jesus says in 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed unto me. He is putting us into a kingdom because he shed his blood. In other words, he's creating a America for us, a spiritual America. A kingdom that is only birthed because of my shedding of blood. America was birthed by many soldiers shedding of blood. The kingdom of God is birthed by his shedding of blood. That you may eat and you may drink at my table in my kingdom. And sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This cross grants us a life in the kingdom above and beyond this world. That we sit at the table where he is at. Where we partake of what he has for us. Where we experience what he died to give us. See, Jesus didn't die just to make a good story. He didn't die just so we'd have Easter celebration. He had a purpose in his death. He had a divine purpose to restore. The first message he began to preach, Jesus did when he was baptized, began to start his ministry, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He began to preach that the kingdom of God is near. I came to establish the kingdom. I came to restore the kingdom. I came to reverse the curse. I came to give you eternal life. I came to give you more than what you have now. I came to give you life over death and light over darkness and revelation over ignorance. I came to give you that. He told Peter, "Who do they say I am?" Some say you're Moses. Some say you're Elijah. Peter, who do you say I am? You are the Son of the living God. He knew who he was. And he said this, "On this rock I will build my church." And he wasn't talking about the Catholic Church. He was talking about the Christian church. On this revelation that I am the Son of God, I am Him incarnate, the very face of the High Father walking the earth. I am He. He is in me. I am in Him. We are one. I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me shall never perish but have everlasting life. That's what He came to do. That's what this cross is all about. That's what this flag represents. Because this flag, church, grants all of us legal citizenship into His kingdom. Next scripture, Jeremy. Romans 3:23. "For we have all sinned, we have all come short of the glory of God. But we have been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." What Jesus did for us justifies us. We're not justified by the way we shout. We're not justified by the way we pray. We're not justified by the way we dance. We're not justified by the way we sing. We're not justified by the way we give. We're justified by the grace of Jesus saying on the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." What was he saying there? Nothing else left to do. I have done what I came to do. It is over. It is done. And now the kingdom can be yours. He paid that price. Through the years and even now, there are so many people that don't share this truth of the gospel. We were talking to some friends last night. We was out Walmart and ran in there and ran some friends, and this person used to be a pastor, and they were talking about they pastored a local church here in Statesville, a Baptist church here in Statesville. And this pastor was trying to change the vision a little bit. As pastors, you know, it's their job to cast the vision. And I thank God, number one, I'm not in a denomination. I thank God that people don't run me. In so many churches, people run the preacher, and that's not the order of God whatsoever, just to let you know that. So he was trying to change the vision, trying to grow the church, trying to go outside the box. And so they had this big festival or something, and said he invited a black woman to come sing. Very good. Awesome singer, anointed. Afterwards, some of the leading citizens of the body came to him and says, pastor says, this is a local Baptist church right here in town. Said, "Pastor, we don't like that. We really don't want those kind of folks here." Church, this is 2016. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, "What?" Said, "Yeah," I said, "we don't really want those kind of people here." Now, what are they preaching? My God. Church, what are they preaching? Every single human being, regardless of the color of their skin or the accent of their tongue, has a soul. A soul. And that soul is of equal value in the eyes of God. We're the ones that judge whether a person's as valuable as us. We're the ones that say, well, black lives don't matter. Hispanic lives don't matter. Police lives don't matter. Asian lives don't matter. Whatever people try to stereotype. Jesus says that's not true. Every single life, every color, every race, every tongue matters to me. I came to save the world. And we see this even now in our local churches going on. If we would just preach the gospel, my God, who are we to say who comes and who doesn't? I mean, I've been very bold through the years, and I've never done it offensively, but I've been very clear, very bold. In fact, Melanie brought this up to these friends last night. Of course, the pastor got discouraged and left that church because he couldn't do anything with it because they wouldn't let him you know, doing things. He left and went somewhere else. But me and Miles talked about this. We've said from the very beginning, this is a church that is open to whoever walks in these doors. And church, if they don't look like you and you're not comfortable with it, maybe you're in the wrong church. Because I'm going to tell you, I would rather have 20 people that God has changed their lives than 1,000 of religious zealots that have their nose in the air and don't know Jesus. That's just how I feel about it. So we've always made that clear. Doesn't matter how they look. Man, I told you in my story, we first started the ministry at the fire department. I came out of a very kind of dressed up church. All women wore dresses, guys dressed up. There was no long hair. If there was, it kind of got, you know, looked at and, you know, you noticed it. You know, no guys came in my church growing up with earrings on and different colored hair. And I mean, it looked very churchy. People dressed nice and it was churchy. So when I started the ministry, I thought, well, that's what I was going to have. Guys come in suits, women come in dresses. Man, people started coming in shorts and flip-flops. On Sunday morning, oh my God. Now you got to realize, I was raised in a very structured, dress-up church my whole life. And so I remember people started coming in and, you know, guys were coming in with long hair and earrings, tattooed. I don't think I ever had seen a guy in my church in 30 years with tattoos. I don't think I ever saw that. I mean, they covered them up, but I never knew they had one. If I had, I'd have said, he's a devil. That's what I would have thought. You know? I remember I used to go out in the parking lot of my church. People would be smoking. Ooh, I remember saying, they ain't saved. Church, we grew up like that. They ain't saved. Man, they smoking out in the parking lot. They smoking in the boys' room. They smoking. And so when God started sending me all these people that looked like they did, I mean, I remember Joe Brown the first few times wore a suit. Until he saw the rest of them. Then he said, hey, forget this, man. I'll come normal. I love it. And so I remember talking to God. B, I prayed this. I said, I really was a little scared. Because I wanted to be reverent. What my mama going to think? What's grandma going to think? Oh, my God. You know? So I'm sitting there. I'm like, Lord. I remember saying this. Lord, what do I do? What do I do with these people? And God so clearly spoke. Preach to them. Just preach to them. And I didn't worry about it ever since. And church, I love it because that's what God wants. I mean, I would much rather have someone that comes in Bermuda shorts and a tank top that's got a heart for God than a three-piece suit that's sitting there judging everybody. Yeah, look how they dressed. Just mind your own business. You know, I say many times, a lot of times I'm preaching maybe, and y'all are punching your partner. I hope you're hearing this. Let me just tell you, when you're doing that, that's for you. Just saying, if you're doing this, that's really for you. It's like the guy cheating. It's always accused his wife of cheating. He's the one cheating if he's always accusing her. That works every time. I'm telling you, I see a pattern. That's the one. If they're always accusing you, they're the one doing it. So if you know, Minnie starts punching Stacy, don't get convicted. It's Minnie that needs the help. Just saying. That's how that works. Next verse. Whom God has set forth to be a perpetuation through faith, Jesus took our place to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sin. Wouldn't it be great to know that we are truly forgiven? Do you ever think about that? Am I really forgiven? You don't know what I've done, Pat. I don't need to know. I'm not a Catholic priest. I don't need to know. Sometimes y'all start talking to me, I'm like, you know, TMI. It's okay, talk to God about it. Because I'm not one that wants to know everything. It's between you and God. But sometimes I think we question that. Lord, how do I know I'm forgiven? How do I really know my sins are forgiven? Because God, I still do so many things. And God, even after I knew better, I did it again and again. And God, I can't seem to stop doing some things. And I just am not, God, how do I know I'm forgiven? The grace of Jesus, the price he paid, gives all of us this comfort to know that he has truly removed our sins. Remember what Psalm says, that professing Jesus, really a prophetic of what Christ would do, that I will come and I'll remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, and your transgressions I will remember no more. It's a psalm me and Melanie used to sing years ago when we first started ministry. We didn't have a lot of, you know, me and her a lot of times sung. Bless the people's hearts. Y'all hung in there, Joe and Sharon. Thank you for that. But we sung a song at the Walmart Christmas party one year down in Mooresville. That song, What Sin? What sin? What sin? It's as far as a Way as the east is from the west. What sin? What sin? It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Think about that. That's what sin? See, God sees us as his righteousness. He doesn't see us as an alien anymore or an enemy. He doesn't see us anymore in an act of treason. He sees us as one of his. How could God see me with all of my ugliness, with all of my addiction, with all of my strongholds, with all of my lust, with all of my bad thoughts, with all of my bad words, with the way I talk, with the way I think, with the way I live? How could God ever, ever, ever see me with eyes of love? Because he did. And he proved it at the cross. For God so loved the world. He so loved us. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Go to the next scripture. Ephesians 2:19. We are no more strangers. We are no more foreigners. But we are now fellow citizens with the saints. Here's the thing that's beautiful about God. Remember the parable Jesus gave where he went and hired all these workers. And he hired one to work 12 hours, so I'll give you a certain amount of money. One to work, which is, you know, example, 10 hours, give you this amount of money, 8 hours. He went and got one that only worked like an hour. And the person that worked an hour got the same amount as the one that worked 12 hours. And the guy that worked 12 hours came complaining. I worked 12. You only paid him same amount. He only worked one. He said, well, did you not agree to your payment? Yes. You agreed to get received. The whole point of this parable is to say it doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how seasoned you think you are, that each one is equal in the eyes of God. Whether you got saved at 9 like I did and been a Christian most of my life, or whether you're 65 and you receive Christ and you die the next year, it doesn't make you any less saved. You still inherit God's kingdom. They maybe you labor longer, yes. But Lord, I served you 44 years and this person cried out to you and they had a heart attack and they got to live all that sin, sleep with all them women, drink all that whiskey and they die, go to heaven. But yet I had to give it all up for you, God. That ain't fair. Go tell Hillary supporters that. Don't tell me that. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. You know what we ought to be doing? What Joe Brown did when his friend got saved. He was how old? 65 or something? Joe Brown prayed for a friend in Ohio for years and years and years. He finally got a call one day. This guy was 65 years old. Told Joe Brown, I got saved. You think Joe Brown said this? Well, it's about time. Been praying for you all these years. I hope you got saved in time. I hope you really did. And I hope you lived enough saved to get there. And you know, Joe celebrated. He probably cried. Oh, brother, wonderful. You got saved. And that 65-year-old man, he's passed away now, right? That 65-year-old man will receive the same, inherit the same kingdom. He'll live in the same country that Joe Brown will. That's the beauty of this flag. This flag, church, brings humanity together. And though there are differences, and see, I've never been one, you won't hear me ever preach in 15 years, I've never preached or taught on issues that just create division or that don't really matter in the big scheme of life. Too many people focus on little things that divide churches, divide denominations. If we believe that Jesus Christ, I mean, pretty much every Christian denomination teaches that, whether it's Methodist, whether it's Presbyterian, whether it's Pentecostal, whether it's Baptist, pretty much teach the cross of Jesus. They teach forgiveness through the cross of Jesus. Their songs may be different. Fine. I'm not a hymnal guy. That's why we don't do hymns here. I'm not a hymnal guy. Some of you are. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with hymns. There's some beautiful hymns. I'm not a big hymnal fan. I'm not one to they're beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's power in those. You know, we may worship different. Some folks, man, they Holy Ghost hits them, man, they'll run a pew and cut a rug like they in a nightclub. I mean, they all over the place, off the hook. I still think the times I ran the Spirit, I never hit nothing, praise God. I hit a pole and a bike with my eyes open. I ran around a tent, never tripped once, my eyes closed. It's amazing how that works. I mean, man, I would take off so tired. How in the world did I get hurt? Melanie went in there like a missile one night in a sound booth. Holy Spirit hit her. I mean, she literally went off the ground and sideways. Like that. Boom. Hit the wall. No headache, no injury, no bruise. That's amazing how that works. So some people like that. Some people, you can't say amen in church. You've been in churches that are, you know, they're quiet. Man, if you say amen, they're looking at you funny. Like, what in the world are you doing? But you know what? They're hearing Jesus. It's okay. They're hearing Jesus. So we can get caught up in different things, but the main focus is this flag unites us all. I used to have a prayer breakfast with some ministers this years ago. We used to meet at Outer Memorial Hospital in a little chapel. There were about five of us. Meet on Tuesday mornings, about an hour. And we would just kind of talk church shop, you know, as pastors and share things and, you know, encourage each other. And then we'd join a circle and we'd pray. And in this circle, I had a Lutheran. There's a Lutheran preacher. There was a Assemblies of God preacher. There was a Baptist preacher. There was me. And there was another, there was a Methodist preacher. And we'd join and pray, and we'd hold hands, and each one of us individually would pray. We'd pray, squeeze the hand of the next person, they would pray. And you know what? In that room, all those months we did that, there was not one moment of division. There was not one moment of, I'm better than you, smarter than you. It was about lifting up Jesus. And church, it worked. It worked. I know there's problems with religion. I know there's problems with denominations. I know there's issues. And that's why we have to look at the flag, just like the American flag. When we see the American flag, church, we should not see black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American. We should see Americans. We should see people. Each one of us under this country, we have the same president. We have the same senators. We have the same congressman. We have the same governor. We have the same leadership. We have the same NFL teams. We had the same sports world. We all listen, you know, we all had the same singers, the same actors. We are in this nation. We go to Myrtle Beach, guess what? We all like the beach, or we all like the mountains, or we all like the desert, or whatever your thing is. We like it. We're Americans. And when we see that flag, you know, when 9/11 happened, for a very brief period, America was so united. Because all of a sudden we realized, man, we love each other. I mean, for a brief moment. It's kind of went away now, Georgia, but for a brief moment, I even love New Yorkers. Just for a brief moment. It's passed now. But I really, in that moment, began to look at the New Yorkers and like, wow, gee, they're people too. And some of them are crying and being emotional. And wow, I actually feel sad for them. And New York's kind of not so bad. Because it brought the country together. And we realized that we are truly family. And me and Melanie, I'm telling you, as the pastor and the pastor's wife of this church, one of my big responsibilities, other than ministering the word of God, is to protect the flock God has given me. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done to me, even if you've hurt me or if you've not been here in 6 months. If you're part of this family and someone's trying to hurt you or come against you, I'm going to tell you, me and Melanie, if you could be behind closed doors, you would know this. We would defend you if you were under attack. We will come to your rescue, and we would say, leave that person alone. That's part of our family. That's how we all should be. This is part of my family. We're one. They ain't got to agree with you. Church, I realize in this room right now, we have people that voted both ways, and that bothers me not in the least. I know we have people that may not vote at all. Don't bother me in the least. I know we have people that have different opinions about cultural issues. Don't bother me in the least. As long as we can remain committed to this right here, I am a child of God. I've got three children. They're all different completely. If I'd known that ahead of time, I would have had one probably. But you know what? What I mean by that is you're like, okay, you think all your children be like the first one, or you know, you can pattern them all the same. Your values, how you want to be. Then you find out, my God, what am I even here for? I mean, you know, they're birthed and they're just kind of on their own because nothing I've said made a difference. It's like, wow. It's amazing how all three of my children are different. But you know what? They're all my children. They all have the Lewis name. They're all under this banner, my family. If you've got more than one kid, they're different. Josh Sierra, are different, completely different. I'm sure Rodney's kids are different in the way they think, and they're different. Each one of us are different. Stacy and Julie are different, right? Yeah, look at Minnie's face. Yeah. Stacy's the good one. Yeah, good. They very different. Well, you know what? They're still our kids. We can be different, church, and still be united. We can be different and still love each other. We can be different and still live at peace with each other. That's okay. The cross causes us to share one common value, and that is Jesus is Lord. And I got thinking about this. I started singing this morning. This came to my spirit that if we could have a national anthem for the cross, I've got it. You know what our national anthem, I think, should be for the cross? For he is Lord. Yes, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wouldn't that be a beautiful national anthem for the cross? Because that brings every single person together. That's a singular message of truth that every person can receive and respond to. This cross is for you today. If you are here this morning and you are questioning whether Jesus could have possibly died for you because of what you have done or where you have been or how you have ran or how you have rebelled, I want to tell you with a clear, astounding yes. Yes, 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 he did die for you. And I want to tell you this. Don't be deceived or confused thinking that everyone around you is living so much better than you and have it together more than you. You'd be surprised of the brokenness among Christians. You'd be surprised of the weaknesses, the failures among God's people. People say, well, I don't come to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. No, it's not they're hypocrites. It's that they're human. That's the real thing. Church, they're human. We go to a church and people expect every person in church to act all holy. And that's just never going to happen. Because we have human failures. We have human temptations. Church, I'm going to tell you something. Unless you're dead, you're going to notice things and be pulled into some of those things on this earth. That's all there is to it. You're going to be pulled in. I mean, all of us have things, for some people they're like, oh, you shouldn't watch any TV. Well, if you stay around long enough, that's just part of the world. You know, or you shouldn't watch any sports. Well, you're going to be pulled into that. What's wrong with that? People put so much demand on what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and we're going to do things that other people don't approve of. It doesn't make us a hypocrite. It makes us human. So don't let that, Pastor, you don't understand. If I try to give my heart to Jesus, it's going to be a failed attempt because I'm not going to change. I always say this, when it's your time and God is truly calling you, he will equip you with what he's calling you with. He will give you the strength you need to begin a new journey. And it may not be all tomorrow. I get that. I've seen immediate deliverances and I've seen transitional deliverances to where I begin to see fruit revealed in seasons. I begin to see growth in seasons. We don't have to get it all figured out today. We just need to figure out we need him today. And then he takes care of the rest. Melon, come pull a song up. I don't have Marjorie here this morning. Just pick something you think's fitting. I want to give an opportunity this morning for those in here that this is not your flag. It's really not your banner. Not really. I mean, you believe in it, but it's not become your banner. And you're ready to surrender and say, Lord, I'm coming to you, and just can you do that one? That'd be good. That'll be good. What sin? I want to make this clear that God doesn't see us as we see us. And that's a very big deception of the devil. Because I know when I look in the mirror at myself, I see shame sometimes and guilt. I see the ugliness of what I have done, what I could have done better, what I could have done differently. I think of the words I've spoken that have been wrong. I think about all the mistakes I've made as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. I think about those things. I think about, as a man, mistakes I've made, just as a man, as a human. And I have to remind myself, but the cross. But the cross says differently. The devil says you're ugly, but the cross says you are beautiful. The devil says you are worthless, but the cross says you have a lot of worth. The devil says you are hopeless, but the cross says you are no longer helpless. The devil is a great reminder. The Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren. He accuses. He points that finger all the time, reminding us. And many times he uses the people to do that, pointing that old finger. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. There are sometimes we need to say, just shut up. I'm not hearing what you got to tell me, because you're not the voice that I need to hear right now. I want to hear what God has to say. And God will speak. Church, we have this beautiful cross here at this altar. As Melanie sings this song, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want to leave here with a brand new start, a brand new beginning, a fresh slate, you need help in any area of your life that you are struggling with, and you are ready to surrender to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, take this away. Whether it's a stronghold, whether it's spirit of unbelief, whether it's spirit of addiction, whether it's spirit of condemnation or guilt or shame, whatever it is, this cross, this flag is waving for you today. And it's standing tall and proud as a reminder that there's still forgiveness found in this cross. If God is drawing you in any way, as she sings, go ahead and play, Jeremy. As she sings this song, come kneel down at the cross and just talk to Jesus. Give him your heart today.
Sea of forgetfulness. the memory.
Nothing makes me weep this way than when I hear you say, what's in
me?
What's in
me?
As far away as the east is from the west. What's in
me? What's in me?
It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Lord, I pray every heart in here hears this message today, understands that they can be forgiven no matter what they have done. No matter where they have been, that there is nothing too much that your arm and extension can't pull them into. We thank you, Jesus, for mercy and grace that we can't earn this and we can't even keep it, Lord. But God, you keep it for us, and it's such an amazing thing. It truly is amazing grace that we were lost and now we're found. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we have hope of an eternal home. Thank you this world is not the end. Thank you this is not all that we have. Thank you this is not all that there is. But there is a greater reward, a greater awakening for your people, a greater kingdom yet to come. And Lord, there is strife and there is tension and there is so much turmoil and there is such a shifting in the spiritual realm. But God, for your people, we have the victory. We are going to rise and be accounted for. We are in the army of the Lord and we are safe from every plague. We are safe from the terror that flies by night or the day and the pestilence that cometh at noonday. We are safe from the destruction that is wasting. We are safe because your angels have given charge to keep us in all of our ways. Lord, you are our resting place. You are the shadow of the Almighty. That as we abide under you, we are safe. We are secure. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray every heart can hear this message. I pray ears have heard today. God, I pray ears have heard this message. Not heard a preacher talking, but they've heard the word that's come forth. They've not just been part of a service, but they have heard what you have had to say today in this message. We pray that hearts have been changed and transformed by your word. And we give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.